Genesis chapter 18. My name is Pastor Oetla Simankani, thanking you for joining us through this journey in the book of Genesis. Let us read the word of God together. Genesis 18, verse 20. It reads, "So the Lord told Abraham, 'I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah, because their sin is so flagrant. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever.'" Let us close our eyes and pray. Father in heaven, we cry to you and ask that you may hear the cries of your people and may justice prevail. We ask that, Lord, you may intervene in this world, a world full of sin. And we do ask that in the same measure, may your mercy be known to all mankind, for we are sinners, and if you treated us by your justice, who would survive? But Father, we ask that where mercy is extended, may we all be responsive. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and my sisters, sons and daughters of the living God, an incredible story we find here in Genesis chapter 18. For here we find Abraham interceding. Here we find God's visitation to Abraham. On this great day, Abraham dines with God, the only man to do so in this Old Testament. We do not find another who dines with God in the same intimate measure, at least not recorded in the same way that we find with Abraham. On this day, he walked with God. Can you believe it? Joining the select company of Enoch and Noah. And here, atop Ben Inahim, he interceded with God face to face. At the top of the mountain, God is now interceding. An incredible story that points us to the ministry of Jesus Christ, our intercessor. Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 within the city, will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" This is incredible. This is Abraham face to face, speaking friendly with God. And he does so, as it were, negotiating with him, appealing to his mercy and his righteousness. And he asks him a question: "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Will you do such a thing?" And he concludes with a question: "Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" Of course, at this point, God has made clear what it is that justice demands. And he comes to him, and having laid out for God, will he not do anything except as he reveals it to his prophets? We see this happening. God has already called Abraham a prophet. He reveals his will, his plan to the prophet. And Abraham here prays, as it were. He prayed not for Lot, but for the sinful inhabitants of Sodom. I want you to catch that, right? So he is praying for those inhabitants of Sodom. And he demonstrated a God-like compassion for others. He is speaking to the inhabitants here, appealing to God to say that, will you in the city, in that city called Sodom, will you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? And you can sense that he is appealing for the righteous that are in Sodom. He acted as a morally compassionate human being. Abraham does. He knew people in those wicked cities. He had interacted with them, I would believe. His nephew is in the city. And he cared for them despite their paganism and their depravity. And so what does he do? He intercedes on their behalf. I want to say something to you here. The believers, learn to intercede on behalf of your communities. Learn to intercede on behalf of the world out there. there is a place for the work that Abraham is performing here, a work of intercession. Pray. Pray on behalf of all in this world. Pray for the leaders. Pray for everyone. Pray for kings. Pray for presidents. Pray for all in your community. And this is what Abraham is exemplifying. And Abraham has something. He has the confidence in the righteousness of God. His prayer is based upon the fact that he believes that God is righteous, that God will do what is just. His confidence was this: shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? That is verse 25. He has no doubt that God is the author and the arbiter of all righteousness and of all justice. He was convinced that God cannot and will not do wrong. And I share this conviction with him. And I invite you to share this conviction with him. In the end, all shall indeed say that God is just. When the investigative judgment has been completed, when God has meted out what the measures are that shall be taken to renew this world, at the end, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, and everyone shall look at his judgment and say, God is just. Moses later would indeed declare, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Yes, indeed, beloved, God is faithful and without iniquity, and just and upright is he. There is so much injustice in this world. There is floods that are ravaging communities and cities and provinces. There is so much disaster, wars, and in the midst of it is a question, where is God? If God is all loving, if God is all good, how can he allow all of these things to happen? I share this rock, bedrock conviction. I share this thought with both Abraham and with Moses that God is righteous, that God is faithful and without iniquity, and indeed he will be vindicated in the end when all is made plain. Now, Abraham in these questions was probably wrong-headed, but definitely not wrong-hearted. In his bold admonishment, far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. That is in verse 25. Christ later explains that the victims that fell when the Tower of Siloam fell, those that died, were not greater sinners than the rest of Jerusalem's populace. And so it is quite evident here that the righteous do suffer together with the unrighteous. You read your Bible and this becomes evidently clear. The stories that we will encounter in the Bible reveal to us that indeed the righteous do suffer together with the unrighteous. Sometimes, as we will see with Joseph, we'll find that they sometimes go through struggles, maybe not despite, but maybe because that which the devil meant for evil, God designs to use for his good. Right? And so we find here Abraham with the ifs. He asks six ifs as he negotiates. He gets into a negotiation with God and he says, what if, you know, what if there is 50? Will you still destroy the city? What if there is 40? Huh? What if there's 45? What if there's 40? What if there's 35? What if there's 20? You can see he's negotiating until he comes down. What if there's 10? And this is quite instructive. He is wrestling with God, just like Jacob later did with the angel. And amazingly, Abraham's boldness grew. For notice this, that the last three petitions lowered the number of the necessary righteous by tens, right? Jesus will teach his disciples that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Luke 18, verse 1. Abraham doesn't lose heart. What if 50? What if 45? What if 40? What if? And he keeps on negotiating until he gets to the point where he realizes the true state of affairs in the city of Sodom. Abraham's prayers were not without effect, though. As the city in the plain went up in flames, we read tellingly that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Chapter 19. And so from what we see in the end of the story, we see that though Abraham sort of, you could say he gave up when he saw what the true state of affairs is in his mediation, his appeal, as it were, was not without effect. For Lot the alien was the only righteous person in Sodom, and God saved him because God remembered Abraham. Quite an incredible story we have here. Along with this, we learn that God would have spared Sodom if anyone, right, apart from Lot, was righteous. Lot was the only alien and was not a full citizen, according to verse 9 of chapter 19. And so the details here, the lurid details of the following episode, indicate that there were simply no righteous people in Sodom, not one. And the Bible then begins to describe what we find in the city. When Abraham realized where the statistics were going, he ceased his intercession and Yahweh departed. The Lord would have shown mercy if there had been anyone upon whom he could bestow his mercy. Such is the heart of God. When the angels came, their announcement was that the outcry of the people is heard in Sodom. We must understand that God hears the outcries of humanity. He hears the cry of the baby as it suffers abuse. He hears the cry of an old man beaten on the street. He hears the cries of the teenage girl as she is compromised. He hears the tears of the abandoned wife. He hears the bitter moans of the man stripped of his dignity and humiliated by the system. The cries of painful silence go up all at once in a deafening roar as God hears them all, even the whimpers and the silent screams. God hears them. I have heard the cry. Because God hears all and knows all, judgment is coming. Beloved, I want us to continue to trust in the faithfulness of God, in the righteousness of God, and in the fact that justice shall prevail. Indeed, justice will prevail. What we see here happening is that God does respond. And what we also see is that He is also merciful and will be merciful. And we can be assured of this. At the end, when all justice is meted out, when God comes to fulfill justice in the final sense, everyone will bow on their knees and say, God is good and good all the time. We will all be assured of this fact, that God is righteous and He will be vindicated. Let us close our eyes as we pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful today, for we can have assurance of Your faithfulness, of Your righteousness. In this story, we are able to have confidence that indeed the God of all creation hears the cries of all people in this world. That You hear the cry of Your creation as it mourns and as it cries. And today there's somebody, Lord, whose cry rises up to the throne of heaven. May You hear the cries of Your daughter. May You hear the cries of Your son. And may You respond to these cries and mete out justice. May justice flow like a river. And I pray that together with justice, mercy may also be abundant, so that in the end, all of us may know that in the tension of the sin in this world with the justice that must prevail, Your people shall know that the God whom they serve has done what is right and only what is righteous. We are asking, dear Father, that You may do so to the glory and the vindication of Your name. For we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.